Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
I'm Elizabeth Dole, and I approve this message.
Well, you know, you can be born a Muslim, you can be born a Jew, but you can't...
We're going to talk about 9/11. Why don't we talk about how...
I'm Elizabeth Dole, and I approve this message.
That makes fail.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast of the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and where we go through the looking glass each and every night to find you a little bit of that and more. Maybe a couple of laughs along the way. It is Friday night, Saturday morning, and that's a good thing here on our show. And our number, 877-876-PHIL, that's 877-876-PHIL, and our website, philhendryshow.com, where every day it seems like we're making new downloads for you, and we've got downloads of tonight's show as well. Starting tomorrow, we've got a brand new classic podcast download for you. That is the Camel Toe one, bud. From Steve Bozell, right?
Yeah, that one was bitching. I know when you picked that one out, I was doing... I want to hear that one lady going, you're the biggest freak in the world. I thought that was great.
Yeah, that's funny, man.
You like that one, Robert?
Yeah, I did. I was torn between that one and the other one. Well, you talking about that telethon.
Well, the telethon. Oh, baby, wait till we get that one loaded in. I was listening to an hour of a Margaret and Ted Bell telethon for the new bowling shirts that were coming out for Ted Bell back a few years ago. Oh, my God. And R.C. Collins was calling up every time Margaret tried to sing that song, the theme from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, R.C. Collins would call up and fart.
Yeah, that's radio to me.
Yeah. Anyway, so go on over to the website, philhendryshow.com, downloads, the news feed, comment section, emails, and, of course, all of that great, great radio that we have archived and live for you. In fact, we're on a video feed right now. If you guys have a backstage pass, you can plug us in right now for the last hour. We got a bunch of things to do this hour. There's a bunch of stories here that have got me ready to just—I don't know. I'm fine, but what the hell? A lot of one of the problems is because of what I do, I'm closer to it than most people.
On account of what you care of the news?
Yes, because of what I do for a living, I am most of the people that are listening to us right now. You know, they're normal people. They're, okay, I have to go to the store. Or there's a lot of people in their cars right now. We do a lot of radio for our third shift friends. So there are a lot of people either in the cars or they're at work or they're, you know, going to or coming home from it. And I may say, oh, wow, this story's got me nuts. Well, what happened, Phil? Because we're not next to the news until we get home. And some of this stuff is so insignificant that drives me around a bend that I want to just commit homicide. And there's people out there, what? Well, I don't get it.
Yeah, I know, man, but that's your job, you know.
Well, it is, but I mean, if, for instance, I saw a story, and I'll get to it here, about this guy, what's his name, Alan Grayson from Orlando, that representative from Orlando. Now, I know a lot of people that sort of vaguely familiar with him. He's a big mouth. He's got a big fat yap on him. And he's always talking about how proud he is being a Democrat, which is great, and how much he hates Republicans, and what a bunch of douchebags they all are. And that may be true, too. Today, he says that, and one more thing, 9/11 was caused by Bush. I mean, I get it, sir, that you are trying desperately to stay in the news each and every day by saying one more absolutely indefensible, asinine thing. And when I say indefensible, I don't care how many fake degrees you got from Harvard. Oh, man.
Are you kidding me, man? A guy saying a bunch of stuff like that and everything?
Well, bud, don't pretend like you care.
I really don't.
Well, then don't pretend like it, okay? I mean, you don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? What did I just say, dude? You?
Yeah, man, you need to lay down.
What time are you getting off tonight?
1 o'clock. Don't worry about it. It is important to me. Well, we'll get to it. But first, here's a story that is a heartbreaker, man. And so, yeah, I'm going from this guy Grayson to this. But this is, I know a couple of people who are in this situation, and it's pissing me off. And now what do I hear today? Nearly 50% leave the Obama Mortgage Aid program. Nearly 50% of all people who were initially trying to get relief through the Obama Mortgage Aid program, it's a complete and utter failure. It's a flop. It's a flop. Now, I'd love to blame Obama, but you know what I'm really about? I want to know why the damn thing didn't work. I want to know why. I don't want to just say, aha, another failure by Obama. That's not good enough for me because I know people that have lost their homes that were trying to get their homes refinanced or otherwise get their payments reworked through this Obama Mortgage Aid program, going through their banker, and it was fraud. That's what it was, fraud. Wholesale fraud by an industry that already had criminally maneuvered themselves into the biggest, blackest, darkest hole in history, and now, after getting some dollars to keep their asses afloat, and Obama says, let's do a little bit of mortgage aid going on here. What do you guys got? And I want you banks to work with people. And if they are making their payments, we'll see what we can do. You know, oh, forget it, man. You might as well have said to the coyote, hey, there's the hen house. You mind just keeping an eye on the chair? Oh, no, not at all. Thank you, because I'm going to be busy with some other stuff. Sure. You talk about the most ill-thought, ill-prepared. I mean, it was a great thing to remember when people were kind of excited about it. Oh, wow, this mortgage aid thing, this is a great idea because a lot of people are going to lose their homes. And what happened was I never in my life saw such a simple concept get butchered beyond recognition within minutes. All of a sudden, jackballs that never should have bought a home are looking to get mortgage relief, while people who were making their payments and were making their payments every month but just couldn't afford the nut anymore and we're looking to have it refied, nobody wants to talk to them. And meanwhile, we got these guys, Acorn. I'm not putting Acorn down, but what the hell have you guys got to do with any of this? We're talking about people that bought homes and were making payments and could afford it when they bought it. And we're not talking about this, I never should have signed the papers and it's a subprime loan and oh my goodness gracious, what am I doing? We're talking about people that I know.
Being white people.
Yes, white people. Who,
will you shut up about white people?
we're talking about people that are making their payments, not white, necessarily white people. And so these people that I know, and this is the part that just, whew, they had a big file, all the papers they needed to have, all of their financials, all of the phone numbers of the people that they talked to, and they had all of the appraisals they were supposed to get, and they had the, and I'm telling you, this bank ran their asses ragged, and I wish I would, my producer advised me not to say the name of the bank. They are extremely prominent. They're not B of A, but they're almost as big, and they ran these poor people ragged, one stupid bastard after the next, some smiling jackball with a little name tag. And they go in there and they, well, now, do you have your, yes, we have it right here. Well, you need to make me copies. Okay, this will be the 658,000th copy that we've made of this. But, of course, we'll have to do that every week. And they phoned them and they called them and they followed up and they said this and they said that. And they knew a person who knew this. And I got to tell you one other thing. There may be some very well-meaning people out there. But if you ever meet anybody who says to you, hey, listen, I know how to do this, okay, because I'm a this or that, run. There's not one stupid clown out there that knows how to work it, so forget it. There might be a few people that got lucky. And when I say lucky, man, I mean lucky. There ain't nobody knows how to work this game at all because it's fraud from beginning to the end. Fraud. And I'm telling you, I don't know when the day is going to come that we're going to start this entire industry that we've got in this country called banking. You turn your back on these creeps, and the next thing you know, there they are with their hands back in the till. You know, the president said, let's do a little bit of mortgage relief. Oh, okay. So where is it? Well, I don't know. Oh, my ass. What did you guys do? I'll tell you what you did. You turned right around and went the opposite direction. You wanted to screw every single human being that you possibly could to try to get every penny back that you could for all of that crap can, all those lousy loans you made, people that want to stay in their houses, people that want to keep their homes, people that want to get these payments reworked. You don't want to do that, man. You want to get your money back from all of these slobs and deadbeats that walked away from the note. Not to mention the mortgage lenders, the brokers, those clowns that walked away too, somebody got to make it up to them. So who's the guy that winds up taking it in the shorts? It's Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner, the people that have been making the payments, the people that were trying to get these. They really believed in this program. They believed in Obama. I got to tell you something, Obama. You know something, man? If I were you and I cared, because I don't know whether you do anymore, I'd get on the phone to these slobs and I'd say, I don't know what you're trying to do. I said there was going to be mortgage aid. Now, what are you bastards doing? I got half the people who were in the program said, we can't take it any longer. We're dropping out. We might as well just go ahead and lose the house because the banks can't do a thing. And the reason why they can't do anything isn't because their hands are tied. No, they can't do anything because they're either too stupid. Now, I'm going to underline that word because I really believe that that's what's been at work here from the very beginning. Too stupid. You understand what that means?
Well, you're saying they should never even have been in the banking business?
Pretty much, yeah. They should never have been in the banking business. Maybe they could have been in fine men's tailoring. They might have been very good as auto mechanics. They might have been fine maybe if they had a bakery. They might have been good here on QVC. I'm looking at a jackass right now selling a diamond set here for $39. They might have been good at a lot of stuff, but this they ain't good at. 630,000 people who had tried to get their monthly mortgage payments lowered through the government program have been cut loose through July, according to the Treasury report. That's about 48% of those who had enrolled since March 2009, and it is up from more than 40% through June. 421,000 achieved permanent loan modification and are making their payments on time. Well, why is it some people were not able to get this and others do? Over 50%, that's not good. Leaving. They don't even want to look at your stupid asses anymore. That's why. All right, I got it out of my system, I think. I could go a whole hour on this, but I can't, man, because there's other jazz, man. There's Mel Gibson, man.
Yeah, man, I can't believe you talk about money. You talk about, like, getting something refinanced.
We're going to find out about Mel Gibson, how much it takes for him to live a year. How about $7 million? Good Lord.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Why would I kid about that, bud?
$7 million for him to just live?
That's what he spends every year on his own ass. $7 million. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, we have a video cast every night, obviously, the show. We start our video cast an hour before the radio show, so if you have a backstage pass, you can watch us doing our uncensored video feed. And every now and again, we do a Saturday video feed, and we haven't done a yucca feed in a long time, you know.
Man, look, you know how many people want to see you do yucca? And I've seen another guy, he did a video of it, too, and they made it look bad. I don't think nobody knows how to make it.
Yeah, you know, you make it real good.
Well, we made it that one time. Maria and I made it that one time. We put the video up on YouTube. We did not do a live yucca cast. I haven't done a live yucca cast. I would like to do a live yucca cast so that we can do it outdoors, you know, so that we have our get our camera set up so that we go live to the video feed out on the sand or something, man. That would rock, you know, but
you have to get a ton of remote set up.
I don't know, man. Let me talk to Greg about what we can do here, but nonetheless, we are due for a just before the summer's out, we got to have one, that's for sure. Mel Gibson spends $7.2 million each year on his living expenses. So what?
That is a lot.
Well, yeah, it's a lot, but so what? Well, here's the so what. He tells the court that Oksana only deserves 1%. Now, that may well be true, too. But that's, you know, a big bone of contention. Scandal might have cost Mel Gibson his reputation, but not his lifestyle. The foul-mouth actor, I like that, the foul-mouth actor, who will soon learn if he'll be charged for allegedly punching his ex-lover Oksana Grigoreva and threatening to kill her, has told a judge overseeing the couple's bitter custody battle that he blows $600,000 on himself each month. God, that must be something, man. What, 600 G's, Jack? That can't just be, that's got to be like expenses, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, no, that's saying that he's just chilling.
Yeah, that's what he does for fun.
Now, that's baloney, man. I don't believe that. You're telling me $600,000 a year just for kicks?
That's what they're saying.
No, man, I think what they're saying is that $600,000 includes mortgages that he has to pay. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you mean like on them houses he has?
Yeah, the cat's got, I don't know how many houses. He's also got like an island. What the hell's the thing on, you know, is there a mortgage on that?
On what?
On an island.
What island?
He's got an island in Fiji.
He does. I don't know.
He's got an island, man. That's probably, he bought that when they were doing that movie down there. I was just in Fiji. I didn't, well, I wasn't just in Fiji, but I was there. I would have liked to have known where his island was. I would have gone over and, I don't know. I would have just trespassed. Anyway, so he says it's $600,000 a month on himself. RadarOnline.com has learned Mel's lawyers detailed his $7.2 million a year, quote, slush fund, end quote, as part of their argument to limit Oksana's child support for their infant daughter, Lucia, to $6,000 a month. Why do they call it a slush fund? The massive chunk of change was at the center of Wednesday's marathon court hearing in which the Russian musician requested a judge increase Mel's support payments for their nine-month-old. While Oksana claims she should be entitled to more, Mel is insisting some of her expenses, such as bodyguards, are a waste. Mel's lawyers are arguing Lucia is a baby and doesn't need more than $6,000 a month that he plans to pay, despite it being only 1% of what he shells out on himself each month. Now, one of the things that we made a point of mentioning during the pre-show, in the state of California, as I'm sure it's true in other states, a child is entitled to the lifestyle that the parent, the providing parent, has. In other words, the child is entitled to the lifestyle commensurate with the parent. So if the parent is living like, you know, the King of Siam, then the child is entitled to live in much the same way, you know.
What do you mean? The kid gets to have a castle? The kid's not going to have a castle or anything. You never do that.
Not a castle. What are you talking about?
You said the King of Siam.
I'm just saying, man, that if the parent has a lot of money, okay?
Then the kid gets to have a lot of money.
The kid gets to live, not have a lot of money, but the kid gets to live good, see?
All right, well, like if the parent had, now if they have a castle.
Yeah.
Well, you guys forget about the castle, okay? I'm sorry I said the King of Siam. What I'm saying is, if the parent is living good, the kid lives good. Shut up, I don't want to talk anymore about it.
Yeah, but you
talk. I don't want to talk anymore. So that's what the state of California says. So if this guy has got $7.2 million a year of life, and I'm even giving him the benefit of the doubt and saying, well, Mel Gibson, that $7.2 million a year, that includes the more, that's his overhead. That's his overhead, man. That's the houses. That's the whatever the hell he's got to pay, you know. Maybe that's the part of the payment, the alimony, the spousal support, if you will, and that's going to go on in perpetuity to his ex-wife, Robin, because they were married more than 20 years, more than 10 years. So, I don't know. In any event, he says it's only $6,000 a month. That's all he wants to pay. Team Mel, that's what they're calling the lawyers, they claim his own expenses are not an extravagance but a necessity. The whopping total is just for his living costs. That's what I thought. His living costs never even include such luxuries as his private jet. Yet, as Mel continues to live a lavish lifestyle, he's handed over just $18,000 in child support since last December, according to sources inside Oksana's camp. Here's the thing. I don't know how long he was with this chick, and I don't know whether they had any kind of an agreement. She's going to hit him with a palimony claim. That's what I believe is they're getting ready to do. She wants to get a nice fat piece of change for the child in terms of child support, which would then not necessitate any kind of a spousal claim or any palimony claim. But if he's only talking about six G's, which she ain't going to dig, then she'll hit him with palimony. And that's going to be, and that's what he's afraid of. And that's what he's screaming his guts loose on. And that's what he's going ape crap on. And that's why he's ready to commit homicide. And that's, you know. That's that. His wife, Robin Moore, is that her name? Yeah, Robin Moore, his ex-wife, Robin Moore, that was a $1 billion divorce.
Oh, man, are you lying to me?
One with a B?
With a B. A $1 billion divorce. So he was to sell paintings. I have to sell my box at the Laker game. He screamed this to her in this tape recording that you and I heard. His split from Robin after 28 years of marriage was nearly a $1 billion divorce. With no prenuptial agreement, Robin was legally entitled to half of everything Mel had that he had earned, including a host of homes in Malibu, Costa Rica, and his own tropical paradise in Fiji. What do you think of that?
I don't understand, but she gets all that money, though.
She was married 28 years. Over 10 years means, well, you get half of everything that you earned during the marriage.
Right.
Then, if you're married over 10 years, she's going to get spousal support in perpetuity. That means for the rest of her life. And I don't know what that is. Maybe that's what they're figuring in. But she got half of all the property, and she's going to get spousal support. It's crazy, man. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876. Phil Alan Grayson, his big fat mouth, coming up next. What a douchebag this guy is.
Phil Hendry.
Alan Grayson is a representative from Orlando, Florida, and he says he's very insulted in the name of the families of 9/11 victims, except he's not worrying so much about the Ground Zero Mosque, which he refers to as an athletic center. He's angry that George Bush allowed the 9/11 attacks to take place, in his opinion. And I'm sure Ed Schultz sat there with that big, stupid look on his face listening to this, that George Bush allowed these 9/11 attacks to happen. Now, it has, in the years since, been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that the original finger pointers, the George Tenets and the Richard Clarks, going back before the Bush administration to the days of President Clinton, that these people, if you want to begin to track who's responsible, these people had every bit as much to do with the failure to alert the nation as to the attacks on 9/11 as anybody else. And trying to blame all of this on Bush and hang it on Bush, it's the Alan Grayson technique. This guy is one of these real scumbags, and I say that because he's got a lot of education. He does have a great deal of education, and I'm sure he's a bright guy, but he spent a lot of his time, the only way, getting notoriety for himself that I guess he can think to affect that, by saying really ignorant things, calling people killers, and then turning around and saying, why don't you work with us? You're a killer, you're a murderer. Why don't you reach across the aisle and work with us? This is a guy that's got no interest in anybody working with him. It's a guy that's got a lot of interest in making sure the people of Orlando see that he's working for them. He's not doing anything, as far as I can tell. What is a congressman from Orlando doing weighing in on this? Anyway, I don't understand this, Grayson. You're a representative of the people of Central Florida. They got enough problems of their own down there. They got a lot of stuff they got to figure out. Like, one of the things they need to figure out in Orlando is, A, put my show on the air down there, okay? So you can liven up that lousy radio you got there. Oh, it's on the air, I know. But that took years. Years. That's number one. Then number two, do something about the smell, huh? Then number three, anyway, Grayson, in an interview on MSNBC's The Ed Show, said all kinds of let's listen to this marvelous guy.
But if we're all going to talk about 9/11, why don't we talk about how not so much the people who died on 9/11 were disgraced by the possibility of an Islamic athletic center several blocks away. How about the fact that they were disgraced by a president who let it happen, who went on vacation for the entire month of August after he was warned in writing that Osama bin Laden was actually finding targets in New York City and learning about how to take these planes and do terrible things with them.
Oh, in the month of August. In the month of August, Osama bin Laden was learning how to take planes and do these things. In the month of August. Jack, your timeline, man, is about as, your timeline's about as straight as your teeth. Now here he is, Grayson, saying, he says, leave President Obama alone when discussing the controversy over the mosque, because he's a president that you shouldn't worry about. It's Bush.
So who really let down those people on 9/11? Was it Barack Obama? Was it the people who want to build some kind of health club in downtown New York? Or was it the president of the United States right then, George W. Bush?
All right. I'm sorry, Representative Grayson, that nobody seems to be interested in you for a larger office, for bigger things. And you have to say these things that are, they're almost tired, you know, they've been beat into the ground so much. Is it that people are suddenly getting a sniff as to the reality of the world and they aren't buying the Bush caused it all argument anymore? Is that it? You need to sort of reinvigorate that? Is that you guys are talking about intolerance when it comes to this argument about this mosque? It ain't never been about intolerance, man. Nobody's talking about being intolerant to Muslims. Nobody's talking about being intolerant to Islam. Nobody's talking about hating Muslims. No one's talking about hating Muhammad. It's got nothing to do with it. But you guys, you know, the argument is lost on you. The idea of sensitivity when it comes to the feelings of Muslims, everybody gets it. The idea of sensitivity when it comes to the feelings of immigrants, everybody gets it. The idea of sensitivity when it comes to the feelings of French people, when it comes to the feelings of Martians, when it comes to the feelings of you. But when it comes to Americans and how we feel, man, take your place at the back of the line. Nobody cares. You're an American. You got it great. No one cares about how you feel. Why, hell, if you get 3,000 of your people killed, that's nothing. You deserve it. You should get a little bit of the world's pain. Oh, is that how it works? So forget about what's right and what's wrong. Let's just balance out the scales. America is rich, it's fat, it's beautiful. So let's butcher up 3,000 of their people just so we can feel good. And if you guys cry about it, we got all kinds of grievances going all the way back to the beginning, man, about this and that and how America caused everything. You know, if you knew anything about history, and one of the things I just got done, you know that thing I've been watching, bud?
You're watching that World War I thing, man, going to bed and everything. You gotta get some sleep.
No, man, no. This World War I thing I've been watching is the most fantastic thing in the history of the world, because this is where it's at, man. This is where it's at. America? Good God, man, we've only run the show for about 60 years. It was France, it was England, it was Germany, it was Russia. They had empires that stretched the globe. And they were screwing with everybody. The cats in the Middle East, the Ruskies, the people down in the Balkans, the people up in the Baltic states. They were messing with everybody's heads. They were trying to get a piece of all kinds of pies. And there's America. We were sitting there with our thumb in our ear. You talk about a bunch of hayseeds. We didn't know which end was up. All we did, as usual, is just send the troops over there, man, to get butchered up and machine guns so we can free up another bunch of people. Right? And everybody talking about America, man, all we did was step into the breach and try to save the bacon of these guys like the frogs and the British. That's it. Don't give me this crap. Learn a little bit of history. What America did to cause 9/11. Why don't you ask the British what they did to cause 9/11, or the frogs, or the Russians? Why don't you ask the Turks? You want to go back that far, man? Why don't you learn a little bit about this world that we're living in? The Americans caused 9/11. And by the way, I got another one for you here, because we're going to hear from this scumbag who is the guy that's running this Ground Zero Mosque. As far as I'm concerned, that's what it is. I don't care what this... Let me tell you something. Again, it's about sensitivity, you know?
But what do you mean about sensitivity?
You're talking about like everybody got our feelings hurt.
What I'm talking about, man, how come everybody worries about how the Muslims feel? Why don't they worry about how we feel?
Well, what do you mean, we?
What do I mean, we? What are we?
A man?
An American, that's what I am. Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody pissed me off. Someone hurt my feelings. Someone made me very scared. Someone hurt my country. You know, does anybody care about how I feel about that stuff? The whole bunch of Americans would like to have a little bit of consideration, just a little tiny bit of consideration. Every time we talk about this thing called consideration and sensitivity, we're talking about Muslims or somebody else. Nobody wants to talk about us. And because the idea is so foreign, it's so foreign, guys like Oberfuhrer on there saying that it's about intolerance, man. Are you, look at Oberfuhrer, you can't be as dumb as you look, man. Honest to God. I mean, you already look like some stumble bum that ran his head into the goalpost too many times. I don't know what, you're a pretty big guy.
You think he played football?
I think he played football. I think he played football and he put a dent in his head. That's what he's a big dude. No question. But what I'm saying is this. He keeps saying, you know, tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. But nobody's talking about intolerance, you dumbass. Well, all we're talking about is It really sucks to see that, and I'm sorry. Now, I hate to piss you off, but I got to play this. It's an interview on 60 Minutes with Ed Bradley on September 20th, 2001. Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf talking about the role U.S. policy played in leading up to the 9/11 terrorist attacks.
I wouldn't say that the United States deserved what happened, but the United States policies were an accessory to the crime that happened, because we have been an accessory to a lot of innocent lives dying in the world. In fact, in the most direct sense, Osama bin Laden is made in the USA.
All right, so a criminal act, a collection of criminals, psychopaths, if you will, a collection of perhaps psychotic individuals, a collection of mass murderers, mass slaughterers, abnormal human beings as legitimate as Nazis, murder 3,000 people, and we have to say that it was caused by the victim. So if you're prepared to accept that the Jews brought on their own butchery in the Holocaust, and you're prepared to embrace yet again the argument that a woman who wears a tight skirt and a revealing blouse deserves to be raped, then we're right back at square one, man. We're back in the 1970s. We're making those arguments all over again. And this guy, Rauf, whether or not policies forced a certain kind of criminality into the world, it's got nothing to do with it, man. That's like saying that the American capitalist system, with its haves and its have-nots, with its immense wealth and at times its immense poverty and loss, that the strain between the classes in this country, that the immense challenge, the immense opportunity, and the immense depression that comes with failure, that brings on the crime that we suffer from, and therefore we should do away with the capitalistic free enterprise system and do something else. Well, what would that be? Gee, I don't know. But obviously it ain't working, because there's cats who are out there committing crimes. Why? They're made in the USA, man. Their frustration, their failure, their thievery, their psychopathy, their psychosis, made in the USA. When are we going to get serious and start talking to these guys like the stupid asses that they are? If I was Bradley, I would have taken the earring out of my ear, which looks pretty stupid.
What are you talking about?
That Ed Bradley wears an earring. He looks like a dumbass.
What are you talking about? Ed Bradley's the best.
That earring he's got, man, has got to go. I mean, it probably went. Nonetheless.
I think he's dead.
Who?
Ed Bradley.
No, he didn't.
I think he did. I think he died tragically, yeah. I think he is.
He ain't dead. If I was Bradley, I would have looked at that imam and I said, you know what, get out of here. Just get out of here. I'm sick of listening to you. I'm sick of looking at you. Get out of here. But you don't understand. You see, we have, oh, get. And now this guy's going to put a freaking mosque up down there. You heard him. This is the guy he's putting a mosque in. Well, in many ways, he's made in America. So if you guys want to get rid of crime in America, then America's got to stop being America, because America being America creates criminals. Thank you. I'm Imam Hendry, and I hope you'll join me at the Hendry Mosque, which I'm going to not only have a mosque, but I'm also going to turn it into a pool room at night, and we'll have six tables, okay? It'll be fantastic. Bring your own cues, but all beautiful flat tables. And anyway, 877-876-PHIL, coming back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show in just a couple of minutes. A man crusades against a building that looks like a swastika, and the ACLU and parents go after a school uniform dress code. The swastikas, back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry show.
You're an idiot. I got it right here, man. Don't worry about it. I got it, bud. Before we get to anything else here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Twitter, twitter.com/realphilhendry. twitter.com/philhendryshow. And facebook.com/philhendry. Senator Vitter threatens to sue radio stations for airing ad. Attorneys for U.S. Senator David Vitter threatened on Thursday to sue radio stations if they continued airing a commercial critical of the senator's past conduct with women's.
Why is Congress so corrupt? David Vitter, he's part of the corruption. man up. A judge found Bitter committed battery on a woman. It was an unprovoked attack. Next, Bitter's notorious scandal with the D.C. madam. She ran an escort service for powerful men in Washington, if you know what I mean. Then a former prostitute said she, well, serviced Bitter on numerous occasions in New Orleans. That's family values, right? Now, Bitter's Senate aide for Women Affairs holds his girlfriend hostage while slashing her face with a knife. Bitter didn't fire the aide. Bitter gave him 2 more years on his public payroll. Some conservative, huh? Hey, Bitter, what's next? Republicans, it's time to man up for change. Chet Traylor, former enlisted U.S. Army, former state trooper, criminal prosecutor, district judge, retired justice, Louisiana Supreme Court. Chet Traylor, conservative Republican, Senate.
I'm Chet Traylor, candidate for the United States Senate. I approve this message.
Paid for by Chet Traylor for Senate.
I'm Chet Traylor.
Epic fail.
So,
why do you get that?
Is Chet Traylor a Republican, Jace? Is this still the Republican primary, or is it the
epic fail
primary? Anyway, so we thought we'd roll that. It is, he's a Republican. It is pretty nasty. I don't blame Vitter. That's I can hear stuff in there about, well, we heard a guy say, I know the stuff about the lady, but cut somebody's face with a knife. What the hell?
Sound like a lot like they heard, I mean, it was in the news, and they're saying, yeah, well, we can say it, you know.
Yeah, well, they're making it sound like it's fact. I mean, if it's stuff that is has been alleged but hasn't been proved, then I think we all have to agree that it's nothing more than a
epic fail.
You cut out with that.
Why, man? Doubter got to use it.
That was Doubter, man. Quit. Don't do it.
Tell me what to do. It's my show.
Don't do it, man.
Yeah, don't do it.
Oh, telling me what to do. Give me that.
Give me. Don't do it.
Epic fail.
Yeah, I did it. Tell me what to do.
Man, I'm telling you, blowing it.
Oh, then I'll blow it, all right? A couple of years, what are you laughing at? A couple of years ago, the swastika-shaped building at the Naval Amphibious Base in San Diego, discovered by Google Earth, became an internet hit. Former U.S. resident and now Israeli citizen Avram Segal got word from a friend in 2006 about the building and made getting rid of the offensive symbol his own personal pet project. He involved the Anti-Defamation League and Congresswoman Susan Davis. The Navy started thinking about options to reshape the building, but it turned out to be an expensive and lengthy process, and today the building remains the way it is built. The first option for renovation cost $625,000. It was too expensive. This guy's still on the thing. What the hell is this about, man? Anyway, this guy wants to... Have you seen this? Go to the news... Go to your local news thing there on the internet and take a look at this building from the air. It's the Navy Amphibious Base in Coronado, San Diego. It's a group of buildings, and it's shaped just like a swastika. Now, I don't know whether or not it was done on purpose, when it was built, how it was built. The regional director of the ADL in San Diego said it was not just a whim. When you look at some of the drawings prior to the construction of the building, it's hard to dismiss that it's in the shape of a swastika. I don't know what the motivation of the man who designed it was, but it's obviously highly inappropriate for any government building in the U.S., especially for a series of military buildings, to be shaped as a symbol of the regime that killed thousands of Americans. Now, I guess this thing was built, oh, it was constructed in 1969. How about that, huh?
What about that thing about Nixon?
Well, okay, you never know about some of these guys, and this is the opposite, but I actually interviewed a group of construction contractors. I actually interviewed a construction contractor who worked on Richard Nixon's office remodeling in New York back in, I guess it was the early to mid-70s. And it also happened that these guys were not only construction workers, contractors, they were carpenters, they were electricians, they were also Buddhists. So what they did, unbeknownst to President Nixon, and this was his, I think it was his law office in New York, this was after he was president, they put in the wall between the studs Buddhist symbols, mandalas. Now, they were all intended as good things. These represented good luck, they represented good health, they represented, you know, sort of the purification of the soul or whatever spiritual trip they were trying to, I forget what the cat told me, but he said, well, we put these things in there. He said we drew them on paper. Somebody hung them in there between the studs before we put up the drywall and before we went ahead and put the, you know, finished the office.
That's, to me, that kind of stuff's trippy.
So they did that, but that was a good thing, you know, that they did for President Nixon. These Buddhist, seriously, Buddhist carpenters who were redoing his office. But this guy that built the swastika building, I don't know what his story is, man. I don't know what, you know, a joke? Who knows? And nobody took... Who the hell's looking at it from the air, you know? Who knew about Google Earth back in 1969? Meanwhile, one other story here. ACLU, and this is kids often rail against uniforms because they mean style imitation. But why would parents fight a uniform dress code? Well, according to the American Civil Liberties Union, there was a complaint on behalf of four Woodsocket, Rhode Island parents. Uniforms would be an added financial burden for families. Dig that. Additionally, the ACLU says the uniforms won't do anything to improve the quality of education at the kids' school. The policy, due to be implemented next month, requires public school students to wear black or khaki pants, maroon or gray pants, and closed-toe shoes. This is a load of crap. You can get any kid to, you know, make a uniform that looks like that. The ACLU filed the complaint with the state on Wednesday and has asked Rhode Island's education commissioner to block the city from imposing the dress code. We'll see what happens. But they got a lot of kids in public schools around here that wear dress code, that have uniforms, and... what the hell, man? I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, get out of here. Let's go, man. It's the weekend. Let's get out of here. Thank you so much. God bless. Our show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical direction by my good friend, Don Naylor. Don Naylor. And Dan Northcraft is the screener. And I'm Phil Hendry. Jason Rantz is the producer. We say that?
No.
Jason Rantz, the producer.
No.
Anyway, we'll see you on Monday. PhilHendryShow.com. Don't forget it. Get out of here,
Phil
man.
Phil Hendry. Go to TalkRadioNetwork.com for more information.